Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to follow along with me today, I'm going to be speaking from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, the apostle is closing his letter to the Hebrews with a prayer for them. He has a prayer that he would like to give on their behalf. It's a prayer and an announcement for every sinner that the Father has chosen throughout the ages. The apostle gives this to the Hebrews specifically, but this is for all of God's people. We're going to begin reading in verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. It says, "Now the God of peace," the God of peace. That's wonderful, isn't it? The God of peace. How glorious is it that that does not say, "Now the God of wrath," although He is. But how glorious is it that that does not say, "Now the God of judgment and punishment," although He is. It could have said, "Now the God of eternal damnation." It doesn't say that, but it could have, because He is. Eternal damnation. He is the one who damns souls eternally. But that's not all that He is. That's not all that our God is. Verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace." Now the God of peace. Do you know who will hear that and think, "That's the sweetest thing my ears have ever heard"? You know who will hear that and truly, truly just fall in love with those words? You know who will consider that to be the most glorious declaration, the most glorious announcement that they've ever heard in their life? It's someone who knows that he's wicked, someone who knows that he's guilty before God, guilty because of his sin before God, someone who knows that he is a worker of iniquity. To find out that the holy God, who, as the scripture says, is angry with the wicked every day. Angry with the wicked every day. And the scripture says he will cast all workers of iniquity into outer darkness. To find out that that God, that very God, is the God of peace. The God of peace. That will make a sinful man, a truly sinful man, a man who knows something of what he is, that'll make him want to find out how. How? Just like Job asked. He said, "How can man be just with God? How can man be justified before God? How? How can God be at peace with me? And how can I be at peace with Him? How is that possible?" Here's the answer. Hebrews 13, verse 20. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That is how the God of peace made peace for His people. That's how. Every human being on this earth is cut from the same lump. The exact same lump. There is no difference in any of us. There is no difference in you and me. One human being is not better than another human being. And one human being is not worse than another human being. Because all human beings are filled with a loathsome disease. We are infected in every molecule of our being with sin. We are all ruined by sin. The scripture says all have sinned. It says all are at enmity against God. That means the enemy of the true and living God. Man does not believe he is naturally, but once he finds out who God truly is and what he has to say in his word, man says, no, I don't like that. I don't like that God. I like the God I had made up in my mind. The God who did things the way I wanted him to do things. Man hears about the absolute true and living God and he says, no, I'm the enemy of that God. Man naturally will not bow to his sovereignty and will not bow to his authority. Man naturally will not beg for mercy. He doesn't believe he needs mercy. Man will not naturally believe what God has written in his word. He believes what he wants to believe. So all flesh has willingly joined the ranks against the true and living God. I know that may be a shocking statement, but it's the truth. The flesh, when the scripture says that the flesh of man is at enmity against God, it is telling us the truth. It is at enmity against the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is at enmity against the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul said, there is a war raging within my members. That's what he said. Let me show that to you. Look with me, if you would, at Romans chapter 7. In Romans 7, it says in verse 14, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He said, I am sold under sin. The Apostle Paul said that. He said in verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. I don't know why I do it. But what I would, that do I not. What I wish I did, what I ought to be doing, I don't do it. But what I hate, the sinful things that I hate that I do, he said, that's all I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. He's saying, I acknowledge the law is good and right, and I'm wrong. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin has ruined me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Somebody will say, come on, Paul. No good thing, really? You mean there's nothing good in you? He said, no good thing. Not in my flesh. He said, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I cannot find a way for this wicked, sinful flesh to do good. My mind ruins things. My heart ruins everything. Verse 19, he said, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I'm a captive to sin. I'm a prisoner of my own sin. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Every time I try to do good, evil is right there. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. The Apostle Paul said that. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from this war? This war that's raging in me, warring in my flesh, warring in my mind, warring in my soul. Who shall deliver me? Here's the answer. The God of peace. We have a deliverer. The God of peace. The God who ends the war. The God who finishes the fight. There's a song, an old song. I love this song. It says, here's some of the lines in the song. It says, against the God who rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high. Despised the mention of His grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran. Almighty love, arrest that man. I was at war with him. I was too proud to seek His face. I didn't want His grace. But God said, Almighty love, arrest that man. Put an end to this war. Break down that middle wall of partition between us and abolish the enmity. Put it away. Almighty love, who is Almighty love? Jesus Christ. Almighty love, make in yourself one new man, so making peace. The glorious news of eternity, the glorious declaration of all eternity is this: God made peace. In spite of us, in spite of the fact that we didn't even want peace, God made peace. That's what the angels cried when they announced the birth of our Savior. They said, peace has come to earth. They said, goodwill has come to men. That was the angels' announcement while they stood at the empty tomb. That was their announcement as He came to earth. That was the announcement as they stood at the empty tomb. God has made peace. That's what they were declaring. God has made peace. He is not here. He's not here. Come see the place where He laid. Come see the place where He made peace. It's finished. It's finished. Back in Hebrews chapter 13, what I would like for us to see in these two verses is why, who, when, what, and where. All right, let's look at why, who, when, what, and where. Why Christ died, who He died for, when this work was accomplished, what it was unto, and where all the praise has to go. All right, verse 20, Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Why did Christ die? Why did He die? The natural answer is to make peace. But what did it take to make peace? What did it truly take to make peace? What was accomplished in His death? Why did Christ suffer all the way to the grave? Why? Was it so He could make salvation possible for people? Was it so He could just put out a general offer? He shed His blood as a general offer to anyone who may be interested. If anyone's interested, it's just laid out there. You can take it or you can leave it. It's up to you. Is that why Christ died? If that's the case, if He died just to offer peace to man, just to put it on the table for man, and it's ready if he wants to take it. If that is the case, then no peace will be had. If it is just offered to man, no peace will be had. We can cry peace, peace, all we want to, but there will be no peace. And the reason is because we just stated how sinful man is and how wicked man is and how man is the natural enemy of God. Man does not want to take peace if it's just offered to him. He's not interested. He is not interested. Man is not interested in being saved on God's terms. He's interested in being saved on his own terms. So if peace is just offered through the blood alone and the work alone of the Lord Jesus Christ, then no peace is going to be had for anyone. But that's not why Christ died. That is not why. He did not die to offer peace. He died to make peace. He died to make peace. I just quoted this to you, but if you're turning with me, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Boy, I love this chapter so much. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For he is our peace." He is our peace. How did he make peace? By becoming peace. He is our peace. The verse just before it, verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." He didn't just mediate between both sides of the war. He brought the war into his own body. God's purity and man's iniquity met in him. God's righteousness and man's wickedness met in him. They engaged in him. And in that moment, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the holiness of God cried, "For this cause came I into the world." And in that moment, in Christ, the sinfulness of man cried, "Mine iniquity is more than I can bear." God was in Christ reconciling his people to himself. All of his people throughout all the world. And his people were in Christ being reconciled to God. The enmity was slain. Sin was conquered. Victory and peace was won. Every bit of that happened in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ proved that to us when he bore our sins all the way to the grave. He proved it to us. And as us, as our substitute, God raised him from the dead. When it was all finished and peace was won, God raised him from the dead. As our substitute, God raised us from the dead in him, declaring peace. Declaring peace. It says in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." So making peace. That's why Christ came. That's the reason why Christ came, to be our peace. As long as he stands, we have peace with God. As long as he stands, we will have peace with God. Now back in Hebrews 13, who did Christ die for? Why did he come and why did he die? To make peace. Who did he die for? Who has peace with God? Verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." That great shepherd of the sheep. God chose a particular people to save. He did. He chose a particular people to save. He continually calls them his sheep. Over in John chapter 10, it says in verse 11, our Lord said in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's who Christ died for. He said, I'm giving my life for my sheep. In verse 14, he said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, is everybody a sheep? He said, I'm laying down my life for the sheep. Well, is everybody a sheep? Is every soul on earth one of his sheep? Verse 24, it says, Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now listen to this right here. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believed not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No man. God has accomplished peace through the blood of His Son. And He has accomplished it for His sheep, His particular people. All right, now when did He accomplish it? Back in Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit made a covenant with each other. That's just glorious. They made a covenant with each other to do this, to accomplish this for their sheep. And they made that covenant before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever existed, before it was ever created, there was a lamb slain. Before there was ever a man on the earth to sin. Think about this. Think about the purpose of God, the foreknowledge of God, the sovereignty of God, the kindness of God. Before there was ever a man in existence to sin, there was a covenant made to put away man's sin. That's wonderful. The promises of God, the gifts, the calling, the covenant, they're without repentance. That's what God said. They're unchangeable. What God does is forever. Peace is forever. Sin trying to ruin the peace of God's sheep. Sin trying to creep in and create war again will never be a possibility. It will never be a possibility. It is everlasting peace through an everlasting covenant. Back in Hebrews 10, it says in verse 11, Every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Forever. One sacrifice forever. Christ made peace through His own death. He made peace for every sheep His Father chose to save. It was ordered and sure before the foundation of the world. It is an everlasting covenant of blood. Now, what is all that unto? Well, it says in verse 21, Hebrews 13, 21, It will make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Every good work in a child of God is God working in that child. That's what it's unto. Philippians 2 says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. All of His sheep will be willing to do His good pleasure. He will perform a perfect work in us, causing us to do His will. What is His will? He said, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. Believe on Him. Follow Him. We just read in John 10, He said, my sheep believe me, they believe my word, they hear my voice, and they follow me. And if that's us, that's what we'll do. We will believe His word. We will believe that He has finished peace with God for us. If we hear His voice as our great shepherd saying, come to me, I'll give you peace and rest, we'll do it. We'll come to Him. We will trust that the Father's drawing us to Him. And we will know that we're one of His sheep because we have a heart to be with Him where He is. We follow Him. So verse 21, the end of verse 21 says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Who does all the glory go to? Where does all the glory go? Praise and glory belongs to whom? To whom? Our worship does not revolve around a what. It revolves around a whom. It's all about a whom. The God that made peace for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, to Him. To whom? To Him alone be glory forever and ever. Amen. All praise, all glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's what all of His sheep will say. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Until next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.